And this is Claire McKenna in for Andrea Gilligan this afternoon. Now, it's Pod Squad time, separating the audio gold from the audio garbage every week to bring you our honest recommendations. Today, we're talking about the podcast 16th Minute. I'm joined by host of For Tech's Sake podcast, Elaine Burke, and Off the Ball's Colm Buhig. Well, you're both very welcome.
Thanks.
Let's take a clip of the podcast so people can get an idea before we get stuck into what we thought of it.
Hey, this is Jamie Loftus. And this is my new weekly show, 16th Minute of Fame, the podcast where every episode I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet, or sometimes the algorithm, choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Things will get serious sometimes, but I'm mainly here to have fun and try to bottle these little bits of internet history that feel like they're slipping away from us. And I can almost guarantee that you've heard of a lot of these stories already, but probably not after the day they were considered relevant online.
So that gives people a general idea, but can you fill them in a little bit more, Elaine?
So the each episode kind of deals with a familiar internet meme or a moment. So the ones that I've listened to talked about the left shark that was dancing at the Super Bowl alongside Katy Perry and became a meme. There's Bed Intruder, which was a real life news story about an attempted rape that turned into a funny viral video. That's kind of the internet works. 30 to 50 feral hogs I also listened to. That was actually one of the most illuminating episodes because feral hogs really are a problem for people in America, and I have learned a lot about that. And so that was a tweet that was really popular because it just seemed like a wild story in the context of gun control in America. And then there's an episode on The Dress, probably one of the original big internet viral stories, that was it white or gold, white and gold or blue and black, that dress. And yeah, so they take these various moments in time on the internet that kind of caught a lot of attention. Some people got a lot of backlash as well, like there's one about the original wife guy who loves his curvy wife and posted about it and became popular and then got backlash because of it. So she interviewed, when she can, she interviews the people who are at the center of these stories to get the story of what it was like to be like the internet's main character for a day. And then also looks into that kind of like technological history background of it, of like how some of these stories actually shaped the internet culture that we see and operate in today. So even like The Dress, for example, that kind of came before there was a shift in how algorithms work and display content online. So it kind of displays maybe a tipping point where social media platforms saw that if you just push something that lots of people have engaged with to other people, then you get this kind of like domino effect of more engagement and the virality systems that we're kind of more familiar with today.
And I suppose that story in itself, The Dress, I never really realised that there was a real person at the back of it. I thought it was just an optical illusion. So to hear that it was a mom and bride and a real conversation and a real human story, I mean, that is interesting. Is it enough for a podcast series?
Well, I will tell you, for The Dress, if you get to the end of that episode, there's a wild tangent where the latter half of that story involves an attempted murder, which you would not believe is going to be connected to this story. Yeah. But my problem is, to get to the end of that and get to that nugget of that's quite interesting, there is a lot of dross, I think, in these episodes. Like, you're talking like none of them is under an hour. Most of them are getting close to 2 hours long. And then some of them deal with the topic across two episodes. So the Bed Intruder one is across two episodes. I think about 2 hours worth of that is the interview with Antoine Dodson, who is the person who's famous for saying, hide your wife, hide your kids. And it's just all too long. Like, I there's some interesting parts in those interviews, but if they were edited down to just the interesting parts for me to get to, I would find this a lot more enjoyable. It needs an editor. This whole series needs an editor desperately.
All right. What did you make of it, Colm?
I very much agree. That's like a perfect summary. You don't really have anything to add there, because I think if you're into the subject matter yourself, you're in for a treat, because she covers absolutely everything to do with that subject and anything related to it. So like The Dress one I listened to as well. And they don't so much get the mother of the bride who posted the original photo, but they do get people who worked on the stories about The Dress. So like BuzzFeed in its heyday was then, like, that was its peak. And this, the dress photo was posted on the 26th of February 2015, which was clickbait central for life, like. And it was before, as you say, algorithms took over, and we live in a far more cynical social media world back then, but back then it was kind of in the sweet spot of, like, do you remember when the internet was originally fun? And it was just about to get serious in the 2016 US election, kind of changed everything. And the dress is kind of the farewell to the old fun internet. And Jamie Loftus tracks down everyone involved around that story without getting to the people themselves. So if you're not really engaged in deciding what colour the dress was at the time, Stellaire, you probably are tuning out after about 35 minutes. Having said that, it's a really well done podcast. Like, I actually think she edits quite well. I think she uses audio very well. I think she kind of intersperses kind of the more serious and detailed moments with just literal noises and air horns to like wake you up as you're walking around. And she herself doesn't take herself too seriously, but she takes the work seriously because she puts the effort in. So I think she's really impressive, and she has a cult following in America. Like, this isn't her first podcast. She co-hosts the Bechdel cast with Caitlin Durant, and she has done that for about 8 years, and that's really popular. And she's a stand-up comedian, she's a writer, and she originally worked on websites like BuzzFeed. So she has an amazing background in media, and she's really naturally very funny. So I think she's more impressive than the concept of the podcast. If you don't follow the topic, it's very hard to stay with it for the full like, what are you talking, 70 to 90 minutes per episode.
I struggle with that on any topic. You know, any of the big hitters, even, you know, The Diary of a CEO, any of them getting into the 2 hours, I'm thinking, surely we need to get to it a little bit quicker. Maybe it says more about my attention span, but I think 40 minutes is the sweet spot for a podcast, particularly with something like this. Now, I agree with you, Colm. I thought she'd put it together really well. Yeah. You can tell she's well media savvy.
Yeah.
She's jumping from clips to interviews and keeps the whole thing going. And it does really make you think. I mean, I listened to the Bed Intruder episode, and that was something that I remember back in 2010 being brought over to a computer screen to watch. I remember laughing at it, and then to really kind of question where my morals were at, that this was a real life story of a possible attack and rape and a pair of siblings scared in the moment, and that became a meme. And not only that, but the YouTube channel that put it out there probably made a lot of money off the back of that.
Yeah. And she has a really impressive ability to bounce between like really serious topics like that and something like the dress or Left Shark. And she interviews Left Shark and has that detail. And I think a good encapsulation of how seriously she takes the work is going to the dress one, which I literally just listened to, like, so that's why I'm talking about it so much, is she says 9 out of 10 stories on BuzzFeed in the peak of the dress was about the dress. And she'll tell you what the other story was that wasn't the dress. That's the level of work and research she puts into it. Whereas I think a lot of podcasts would say 9 out of 10 stories were about the dress and they'll never mention what the 1 in 10 were, because I'd be interested in that level of detail.
Yeah, because I think we do need to think about what we're viewing online and how it's shaping our culture, because that's what she really starts to get into, that it's not just something that comes and goes. It is shaping how we are behaving, particularly online.
Yeah, 100%. And like this, in brief, this description of this podcast speaks a lot to me, because it also talks about the media's role in creating these viral stories and the virality of it all. And she was part of that as well. She was one of these writers who came up in that age and was writing about meme stories. And I am one of those writers as well. I wrote stories about Bed Intruder videos. I wrote stories about the dress. And I remember that time, and it wasn't the most fulfilling work, let me tell you that. And she's honest about that. She says that like the writers behind this stuff didn't love it either, but like we knew what we had to do to get clicks. And I was intrigued by that aspect of it as well, because it took me back to that time of, and again, the questions that we had to ask ourselves as producers of news. It's like, why are we following these online trends that are facetious and just not really worth all of the effort that we're putting into it? But it gets clicks, it gets views. But I don't know if it goes very much in depth on that side of things, because it is, you know, and it's not supposed to either. But I think like while there's lots and lots of detail being thrown at you through these podcasts, interspersed with these long tangents off into directions that I was less interested in, like you actually get every guest is nearly asked like, what is your life story? And like not all of their life stories are relevant or remarkable to the story. So like I don't need to hear all that part of it. There's big gaps, and then there's an interesting tidbit, and then there's a big gap for me. And I just wanted that all to be tighter. But like, and it is frustrating because she is a really skillful podcaster. And I do think though some people might not click with her as a host as well, because she's like peak millennial cringe kind of stuff. Like every now and again, she'll just put out these like oddly personal facts about herself, like how she lost her virginity and her parents' emotional affairs, just in the middle of the content out of nowhere. And some people I know will find that endearing and warm to that, and some people will be completely turned off by it as well.
Yeah, I thought it was an assault on the senses. You know, she is very excitable, which, you know, is impressive. But between that and the amount of audio that she's hopping in and out of and the amount of information that she's putting out there, that is exactly what I'd call it, an assault on the senses.
It can be an irritable listen. Like, I wouldn't listen to it if you're stuck in rush hour traffic and you're late, because it would just exasperate your stress, because she has to carry it herself. She doesn't have a co-host. So when I was listening to it, I was thinking you could reduce this to like it's 16 minutes. You could reduce it to 16 minutes. Like, you could make that a thing. You could do a 60 minute podcast about this and have that one extra minute as that like special treat that you're getting as a listener, or even half an hour to have a compromise between them, because the fact that it's just her talking until she talks to either the person directly involved or associated, then you have to be a fan of hers. And if you're not, you're gone. There's nothing in it for you in the podcast. So I think it's a brave way to do a podcast. And obviously she's like developed the level of confidence in her own ability to be able to do this. Like, this only started in May of this year. So like, if you out there listening right now are the subject of a viral video or a viral moment, good chance she's going to get in touch with you, especially if you're based in America. And so you're going to be fascinated by her and the amount of research she'll do into you, and your friends and family will. But it's all about getting the rest of the world involved. And if she makes this a medium to long-term success, because it only started a few months ago, I'd be incredibly impressed. And it would be one of the most impressive podcasts out there, because she's taking on an awful lot of work herself.
Yeah. Now, I do feel bad, because it feels like we're kind of ripping it to shreds. And obviously, that's what this review is all about. But I wouldn't want to put people off giving it a go. I mean, would you recommend it, Elaine?
I mean, if you have a lot of time, they are very long episodes. And I'm like yourself, like 30 to 40 minutes is like a lovely sweet spot for me. And I know how hard that is. Like, I do a podcast myself and it frequently runs over that 40 minute mark, no matter how much we really wanted to keep it under.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate what she's done here. I just think that's the thing. Like, I don't think I'm really ripping it to shreds, because I do think there is something in this for someone. It's just not me. And I do have a friend who's a big fan of it. That's how I came across it. But that's a friend who loves long podcasts, like listens to hours worth of podcasts and likes long rambling conversations, but also, you know, like you said, with the air horns and the snippets that come in and that, like, it does kind of keep your attention going. You don't feel like you're listening to one monotonous voice for a long time. She does kind of keep it sparky, I guess. So it is, there is an audience for out there, but I'm not it. And apart from the person who recommended it to me, who I already know what listens to it, I don't know who I would recommend it to either.
That's a really good point. I'm trying to think of people in my life who's like, who would like this now? And there's one or two people who would have been fascinated by a story from a few years ago. And it's perfect for them. Like, really, really good. Like, you, like, because sometimes there's a lot of podcasts out there that it is vague on detail because they haven't put the research in and they are relying on their own camaraderie or personality to get it through, and it is complete escapism for escapism's sake. But this is a study in content. And the episode with the dress, it is about what the internet was like back then, so it's a bit of a history lesson and a reminder of what social media was like at the time. It's not just an hour and 20 minutes about the dress and what colour it is.
Yeah.
It's about what life was like back then.
And that's what I liked about it. And it does really make you think. So it is impressive. But, you know, if I compare it to last week's podcast, which had huge amounts of information about a murder trial, a murder case, and that was still succinctly put together. And that was its USP, that maybe if things could just be shortened a little bit, that would be where it would be at. Most podcasts are too long now, says a texter. If you can't tell a story in 30 minutes, is it really worth telling? I'd say the same with a lot of books now too. Somebody asked, do they say what happens to the people in these memes at the end? 15 minutes of fame can never be a healthy thing. And that is an interesting part of it, to find out where these people are now and what impact this had on their lives, because not all of them were made rich and famous by this.
Yeah. And for the most part, for a lot of us online, we only get that moment in the story, that is the viral moment, and we're not interested on either end of it. So that is what this podcast covers. And like, say, in the case of Anton Dodson, and you talked about the Gregory brothers made the remix video. Even I didn't realise actually that they agreed 50-50 revenue sharing deals with the people that they made their viral videos with. So Anton Dodson did actually make money off of his video. And a really good point is made in that episode that Susan Boyle didn't make video off with the popularity of her YouTube videos. The production company that was responsible did that. So like, these internet creators, like, it is always seen often as a Wild West, and there's a lot of like issues there, but there also are ways where they can be disruptive in a positive way. And I think that is one good example of it. And learning that, I thought, was really interesting. And I think people are curious about that. They do wonder, like, did that person actually get famous off the back of that? Did they actually get a career off the back of that? And some of them went quiet. I mean, I know Wife Guy did try to launch a rap career, but I haven't heard anything from him since. And then there's other people she can't really track down. Like Left Shark is working as a successful hairstylist, like a very successful hairstylist. Has only done 2 interviews, I believe, ever on that story. So some of them don't really court the fame, but then some of them who try to launch a career out of it can be successful or could, you know, have further embarrassment foisted upon them.
So can I push you to a mark out of 10?
Well, I kind of give my marks out of 10 based on would I recommend it and would I listen again? And because it's a no to both of those, for me personally, it's a 2.
Ooh,
harsh.
Oh, wait, out of 10. Sorry. We used to do out of 5.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Like, so I'm just a blow in here. Ignore me. So you're saying a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
A good 7. A good safe 7. Cullen, what about you?
I thought you were going to. I thought 2 out of 10 was actually. I was like, oh my God, no, it's the hardest person to please ever.
No, it's only out of 5, guys.
No, I'd go 7 as well because of the host and the work she puts in. And the production behind it and the idea, but the content is where it lags behind. I have another fan of it, on Orla Broderick in Cork here, who's a big fan of Lunchtime Live. She says, oh my God, I can't believe there's a podcast about the dress.
Ah, well, so there you go. There's another listener. We'll get stuck into it. It is called 16th Minute. And, you know, check it out and do let us know what you think of it. Host of For Tech's Sake podcast, Elaine Burke, and Off the Balls, Cullen Buhig. Thank you so much for coming on. And thanks to all of you for getting in touch with us on the show today. If you missed anything, you can catch up on newstalk.com or on the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. My team today, Michael Quilligan on sound. Producers were Dee King and Heather Blackburn with research by Ross Leahy. The editor was Mark Simpson. Moncrief is up next. We'll be back tomorrow from 12 on Lunchtime Live here on Newstalk.